The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right. Welcome back. And hope you're having a great weekend. As always, got a good show planned for you today. And, hopefully we'll pass on some good information, some good educational, hopefully it's a good educational experience. And as always, if you're a transient listener today, in and out of the car, maybe mulling around the yard, hope you're not too disappointed that it's not a rerun of Medved and Rush or something like that. I joke about that on the show all the time, because I feel that way. You get on the radio station on the weekends, you're hoping you hear a Medved or Rush playback, but I can assure you, not going to put ourselves in that category, obviously, but it's not the typical financial show. We're not going to be an infomercial. We're not going to be plugging you all the time. We just try to deliver good information. And like I said, as always, if you're in and out and want to catch the rest of the show, you can go to knowyourriskradio.com, go to our podcast page, or go to our iTunes page, catch all the episodes we've ever done, the interviews we've done, and hopefully, like I said, provide some good content, provide some good information. And as always, if you want to call us and speak to me directly and talk to me about, do a risk analysis of your portfolio compared to what we do. It takes 15, 25 minutes, do about 5 to 7 of those a week usually, and free of charge. Everything we do is free of charge, financial planning, all that kind of stuff. We don't believe in charging for it. So anyway, let's get into the show though. Got a lot of different things we want to tackle, and we're going to start as always with the market update. You look at these markets right now and we're grinding upward. You're not seeing any of these big jumps. You're seeing zero, record low volatility. Literally going back 30, 40 years. I mean, it's just, it's pretty amazing. Regardless of what your feelings are for the market one way or the other, the record low volatility is remarkable. As a matter of fact, I was reading today a story that 2017 is like the first year in the last 30 years or something like that, where the vast majority of developed markets, so majority of Asian markets, majority of European markets here in the United States, we've gone the entire year 2017 without so much as a 5% pullback. Remarkable, regardless what your long-term outlook is. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We've talked about it. It doesn't surprise me. I wouldn't be surprised to see the market go another 10, 15% before this year's over. Now, am I telling you to run out there and buy hand over fist and take all your money out of cash or bonds or wherever you're keeping it safe and pile into the market? Absolutely not. Valuations continue to get more bizarre. It's a very difficult market. And we don't want to talk in opinions, right? One of the things we say on the show all the time is, no opinions. Let's just talk about the facts. And the facts are, especially if you've heard this show before, anybody that tries to tell you that this market isn't overvalued on a historical basis, their argument may be it's going to go higher and it's going to get more overvalued, and that's a totally valid argument. But just as part of the market update, and we don't want to go too much into this here, but where are we at? Okay, the only market in history, and I'm including 1929, the big bubble before the Great Depression, we're already past that. The only market in history that compares to where we are, well, 1929 had a lot of comparisons. We're in the same neighborhood as the 1929 market. But on all the different valuation metrics we look at, the only thing that compares to where we are today is 1999. And we all, well, most of us anyway, know how that ended. You know, I'm looking at Microsoft here today, big beat. Everybody, oh, it's great. It was okay. But you're looking at a Microsoft valuation on their stock that they haven't seen since 1999. Okay, so, and for a lot of those, for a lot of you out there, it was a great ride up until 2000. And you sat on that stock for probably 10 years, 12 years without seeing it go anywhere. And so I'm not talking about total collapse. I'm not saying that, you know, we say this on the show all the time. Nobody has a crystal ball. We're not any different. And anybody that professes to tell you they know what's going on, run the other way. Right? But what we do know is we've seen a stock market rally now, 8.5, almost 9 years, averaging over 20% per year. The second or third longest bull market in history with the largest percentage advance, just a skyrocket. And we've been on the radio enough for about, I want to say 2 years, and just watching in the last 6 months, meeting with people, anecdotally, the concern level is dropping out there. And it just, I just got to reinforce to you, the higher the market goes, the closer you are to the end. You should not be getting more comfortable. At the same time, we're not doomsdayers. I'm not trying to tell you to pull everything out of the market and panic. But it's about risk management, right? Know your risk radio. We talk about that all the time. Do you know how much your portfolio could lose in a 40, 50, 60% pullback? Because if you don't, if you're not firmly aware of that, then you're not investing, you're gambling. I had a meeting with a client the other day. Bob, I won't tell you his last name. Bob, I hope Bob's listening. He's a client that called into the radio show and become a good friend. And Bob and I were talking about it. On top of the assets he's got with us, he's got the majority of his portfolio with us, obviously. But he manages a small account on his own too. And he's been doing well. He just said, you know, I'm making money on these things, but I have no clue why. I can't model it. It doesn't make any sense. And I said, hey, ride it while it lasts. You know, but just know it comes to an end. And we're gonna get into this segment a little bit later. We got a segment today we're gonna do called bubble spotting, kind of a play off the old train spotting thing. But I watch this all the time, and it's like a replay of 2007 and before that 1999. The higher markets go, and the richer valuations get, and the more green arrows investors get or they see, the more complacent they get, and it should be the opposite. It should be the opposite. If you own assets in an environment like this, it's a wonderful time to sell. Again, I'm not advocating you do that. I have no clue what each of you should have in your portfolio. I've got general ideas because I know what I think is the best way to put a portfolio together and the best way, you know, on balance to put a portfolio construction today. What works best? What's worked best over the last 10 years? Basic ideas, but I'm not, you know, we don't make specific recommendations on the show because it should vary, right? The approach that you take should vary because it should be built and suited around your individual needs, most specifically your timetable. And if you don't know the stress test on your portfolio, if you don't know how much you could lose, if you don't know, what percentage of your, there's all these things that when I meet with these people, they don't know these things. And you look at them and go, well, who put together your portfolio? Well, my advisor. Based on what? And usually it's nothing. And our investment should be like anything else. Right? It'd be like the equivalent of saying, okay, we want to sell the family home. We want to downsize, move into a condo. And then we go out looking at 8,000-foot spreads on Lake Washington. Well, why? That doesn't suit what you need. It doesn't suit your lifestyle. It's just as ridiculous looking at some of the ways that these portfolios are built for people. Could you stomach? Could you deal with a 40 or 50% loss? No. Okay, well, you're 90% in stocks. And if you make 4 or 5% over over the rest of your investment horizon, then you're going to more than accomplish your goals. So why are you that exposed? Well, I'm making good money. It's working. Yeah, it right now. take advantage of the fact that you've been riding it. And just getting that across to people, and like I said, the level of complacency just keeps going up and up and up. And the funny thing is, I talked to all these clients, they all own the same stocks. Facebook, Microsoft, Nvidia, Netflix, Amazon. Guys, it's a bubble. I'm just telling you, the valuations make no sense. That's not saying it can't go down up more. It can. But get ready for a rough ride. It's coming. And not to mention, there are ways that you can still stay in the game. Remember, we're never advocating sticking the money under the mattress. But I'm watching this level of complacency rise, and I'm sitting here right as I'm talking to you right now with my fist on the table, because it's like 2007. You can never convince people to de-risk when times are good, and you can't get them to buy in when times are bad. The same phenomenon we dealt with in 2009, taking clients kicking and screaming to buy stocks when they were the cheapest they'd been in 3 decades. But you can't get them to sell now. Don't be that guy. I'm telling you, I'll give you a preview. I know how this ends. Don't know when, sooner rather than later, but I know how it ends. It ends ugly. You got record valuations. We're going to have a big nasty drop at some point. And that'll probably be a great opportunity to buy. And I'm not even saying you have, like I said, we're not saying you need to get rid of all these things. Just scale it. Make sure you're not overexposed. And most asset managers are doing the opposite. Their clients are griping about low returns on bonds, so they're sliding more of their money over into stocks. Anyway, if you listen to the show before, I always go on a rant just because, you know, a rant similar to this, just because of where we're at and trying to smack people awake and say, look, you've seen this movie before. There's nothing different. The only difference this time is we've got more corporate debt, we've got more consumer debt, and we've got a government that has twice as much debt in 2007. Do you realize we all look back at the levels of margin and debt and leverage and everything in 2007, and people at their cocktail parties go, yeah, we're over leveraged. Do you realize corporate America right now is 35% more leveraged than it was in 2007? Do you realize that? That house prices are above where they were in 2007, while the home ownership rate has dropped almost 13%. The economy is growing half as fast as it was in 2006, 2007. Guys, wake up. Make a move. Do not buy insurance after the fire, especially when we can build, and other people can too. It's not just us, but we can take virtually all the risk or as much risk out of the portfolio as you want. Suit it to your specifications, right? Match it up to what you can deal with and that also meets your upside goals without missing out. If the market keeps going up, great, you go up with it. But we can lower the fees, lower the downside risk, and a lot of times actually get you safer and increase your returns, because a lot of you are relying on bonds as the safe part of your portfolio, and that's painful. I was doing a portfolio review last night. Our bond replacement over the last 5 years for one of our clients is up 28%. Now, granted, 5 years, that's not blowing anybody away, but compare that to your bond performance, right? So anyway, ran over, but that's the market update. Same thing, right? We're just grinding higher. It's fun if you own stocks. We still do. We've got our core holdings. Nobody's going to, you know, we're not advocating you put money underneath the mattress, but we're just very safe. We're very selective right now, and you should be too. There is absolutely, turn off the television shows. Turn off CNBC, turn off Cramer. People are going, oh, you don't know Jim Cramer. I posted an article about Jim Cramer that I'm going to talk to you about next, on the next segment. And it's something everybody should hear, because it confounds me how we do this every 8-9 years. Get to the top and everybody wants in. It's great. Bottom, oh, it's world's ending. And it's just this bubble pop cycle. And if you think it's over, I got bad news for you. It's not. Anyway, as always, go to knowyourriskradio.com. Catch our podcasts. They're all free. iTunes, you can listen to all the different segments and different interviews we've run. Listen to our interviews with Dory and Raul Paul. And then you can also give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And get our booklet, but you can also set up a free risk review online. Or excuse me, over the phone. Talk to you, call you, just kind of give you the basics of what we do. You talk to me directly and give you some ideas and some information to think about. And then if you want to schedule an appointment, you do that. It's not going to put your number in a queue. We're not going to call you over and over again, I promise. And now, what's funny is when we started working with Dory, Dory wanted to make sure. He's like, you know, I don't like doing that. My clients get all, or my listeners get all upset because it's like putting their name into a, you know, an automatic dialer. People call them all the time. We don't do that, right? That's not our approach. So just arm yourself with the information. Anyway, we got to get running. Overran this first segment here, but stick with us. We got some great stuff coming up. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Welcome back. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us if you did through the break. And we're going to get right into things. For those of you, having a tough time talking today. For those of you just joining us, Know Your Risk Radio. Look, the backdrop of the show is to provide you with economic and investment information, but also to do it in a risk management, you know, profile, right? A risk management theme, which means constantly, like we're telling our clients, look, the advantage you have is that you're not a hedge fund manager. You're not Warren Buffett, right? We all want to get rich. I get that. But when we're investing, we've got to take advantage of our inherent or built-in advantages. And the biggest one that I see the average retail investor doing, first of all, is they push the gas at the wrong time and they hit the brake at the wrong time. Usually like opposite. And the biggest thing I see is them buying into this whole narrative, look, markets go up and just ride the ups and downs and go up with it and all that kind of stuff. But when the market drops, you got to put more money in, right? That's what people say when markets are good. Then you actually go through a 2009 and, you know, 95% of the people that say that, they won't do it. They freeze up like a, you know, they just clam up. So we can all say it at cocktail parties and sound, you know, cute and smart and all that kind of stuff. But those things are always easy to see when indexes are making all-time highs every single day and at record valuations. But the biggest thing that I try to tell clients all the time is don't underestimate the power. If you believe in buying more when it's cheap, you should inherently believe in de-risking or playing a little defense, a little bit more protection when things are historically expensive. Because let me just put it this way. If you have, and again, because a lot of people I don't think have done the math and I don't think they really get this. If you have, let's say, $1 million invested, and or better yet, let's say we start off with $500,000. We go through a good run in the market and that $500,000 turns into $1 million. Okay. So we've doubled. And let's say that takes us 5 years, you know, 18% growth on the indexes, net of fees. We're growing at maybe, let's say, 16.5-17% a year, which is abnormally high, but just stick with me here. Compounded interest, 5 years later, we went from 500,000 to $1 million. And you take a 60% loss in the 6th year. And if you don't think that's possible, in 1929, the S&P dropped 86%. In 99, the NASDAQ dropped 85%. S&P was down 50. At the bottom in 2009, the S&P was down about 63, 64. So it is. I mean, that's a bad drop, but it is. That drop just wiped out 5 years of your gains. Okay, so you could actually make the argument statistically that playing some defense and protecting against those catastrophic losses can be more valuable in the long run. And I mean, we know it is, right? I mean, the best money managers in the world have their biggest years and make their most money when markets collapse and markets drop and when they're bouncing back, right? Those super volatile times that the rest of us freeze up and clam up. Now, the tough thing about that is, when do we know when to play defense? Well, let me tell you, that's usually a tough thing to judge. But when you got an opportunity like we're sitting there today looking at, with markets at all-time highs, making new all-times every other day, record valuations across the indexes all over the world rising at unprecedented levels, that's not a bad time. And again, doesn't mean we cash out. Just means you play a little defensive. And if you do it the way we do it, you can actually technically get more aggressive. And you can actually make more if things keep going up. But remember, every notch you see the market go up higher, you're closer to the next big drop. And we're not overly cautious people. I mean, we believe in the power of markets. We believe in the power of owning stocks. That's the favorite part of investing for me. Always has been. But we've seen these bubbles, and it just, like I said, I don't want to get too stuck on it, but it's not just the, it probably sounds like I'm hammering on the retail investor. It's not just the retail investor, right? We are much more susceptible to these emotional impacts on investing than we think. And to show you that, I want to bring up my good buddy, Jim Cramer. And I'm not beating up on him. I think he's a brilliant guy. I think he's done a lot of great things for individual investors. I think he's very good at looking at companies and looking at stocks. But I just want to illustrate how we all buy in, we all get sucked in, that all of a sudden the fear of missing out on making money overrides our own sensible, the horse sense that we should be relying on. That greed takes over and those green arrows get us, and we end up doing the one thing that jeopardizes the most of our money. Sometimes sitting there not making anything is the most aggressive thing you can possibly do. It's the most, because when you go through a collapse or you go through a big stock market drop and you've got a pile of capital that hasn't taken a hit, now you've got dry powder, you got ammunition. And that's when there's bargains to be had. And the other thing is, it's easier cognitively and mentally to take advantage of that when you're not taking as big a bath as everybody else is. And especially when you can do that just through portfolio construction, meaning that you're not going all out. We're not trying to time markets. You're just dialing back the risk and waiting for an opportunity, which is precisely why a guy like Warren Buffett has the highest cash on his balance sheet right now compared to marketable securities. If Warren Buffett was giving you a portfolio tip, if this was him talking to you on the radio, and I'm not pretending to be him, but I'm just saying, if he was giving you a tip, you'd probably listen, right? Well, just look at his balance sheet. Look at it. He's got $135 billion roughly in stocks, about $100 billion in cash. Like a 40% position in cash. And he's got other companies that he fully owns that, don't go up and down every day, so we don't consider that part of it. But look at just the cash to stock. Look where he's sitting. And it's not because he's trying to time the markets. He doesn't believe in that either. What he's showing, what he's telling you is that if you think it's overvalued, you're right, because he does too. There's nowhere for him to deploy the cash. Okay, so we'll get into this. So this is an article, and I'm not going to tell you the times, but I want you to get an idea. So this is an article that Jim Cramer wrote. This is actually an excerpt from a speech he gave about the 10 stocks you have to own going forward. Okay, so they are 724 Solutions, Ariba, ARBA, Digital Island, Exodus, Infospace.com, Inktomi, Mercury Interactive, Sonera, VeriSign, and Veritas Software. Now, at the time, when he wrote this, these stocks were doing really well. They were really overvalued. They'd fit in well with where we are today. But they were high flyers. People were making a lot of money about them. And now he's talking about them. And he says, quote unquote, now this is Jim Cramer talking about those stocks. We try to own every one of them, every single one. If I had my druthers, I wouldn't own any other stocks in the year 2000. Okay, he wrote this in 2000. I just blew my cover. But anyway, because these are the only ones worth owning right now in this extremely difficult, extremely narrow stock market. They are the only ones that are going higher consistently in good days and bad. I love every one of them, just as I loathe the rest of the stock universe. Does that sound familiar? You got to own these ones. These are the ones that works. These are the ones that are making everybody money. Right? Then he goes on, in other words, we don't care if General Motors and Ford are going with Oracle. We don't care about the big companies. And then I'm going to paraphrase, but he goes on to say, look, don't pay attention to the bears out there. The valuations don't make sense. We're valuing these things all wrong. You got to value these things on eyeballs, the amount of people that are looking at them every single day. It's a new economy. It's different this time. You can't just follow the old valuations. If you are, you're not making money. Okay, so now let me just tell you that 10 of those companies that he listed for companies to own over the next decade, that this was what you got to own, don't pay attention to the valuations, they're bankrupt. They went out of business. Okay? So now let's flip to the other article that came out just the other day. So fast forward 2017, that's this week. He's talking about Netflix. Why you got to own Netflix? You got to buy it. It's one of those, what does he say? We have consistently valued stocks under our coverage based upon the discounted present value of their future cash flows. So he's talking about, you know, how the traditional way of looking at stocks and how you've got to throw that out. And he says here, you see, at a certain point, the prism you're using is just wrong and you've got to scramble. You've got to adapt. You've got to find a new one. Talking about valuing a stock now. Now, here we go again. I don't mean to pick on Pachter, this analyst that was saying these things are too overvalued. Although I think pick on Pachter would be a great name for a sitcom, but periodically there are stocks that defy the traditional metrics and you've just got to scrap those metrics if you want to understand the stock. So he's saying, don't worry about valuations. The FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix... Guys, my point is this article was written 2 weeks ago versus the one I just read for you. And they're literally saying the exact same things. And 8 of those 10 stocks that he said in 2000 were ones you've just got to ignore the valuations and own for the coming decade. They're the only ones he cares about. 8 out of 10 of them went bankrupt. We've seen this movie before. Don't buy insurance after the fire. And again, I'm not giving stock tips. I'm not telling you to sell Netflix. I mean, although you look at Netflix and the valuation and the revenue, let me just tell you, it makes absolutely no sense. Maybe you're sitting on 300% gains. Maybe you're sitting there going, I made more on Netflix than you did. Fine. I'm just telling you, be careful. Because it makes no sense. There's no there. Be careful. Look at those stocks. Especially, this reminds me so much of 99 and 2000, because you have so many people piling in to this very few stocks, this very small universe of stocks. And that is not good. So anyway, we got to get rolling. And I don't mean to pick on Jim Cramer. I really like the guy. I think he's got great ways of breaking down companies and all this kind of stuff. But whenever you hear people saying, throw the valuations out the door, hold your nose and just buy it because it's what you got to own. It'll never quit going up. And guys, they ding, 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 ding. The alarm bell should be sounding. We have heard this story before. We heard it in 07. We heard it in 99. And we are beyond those points right now. It's even more obscene right now. So be careful. Don't be exposed to more risk than you need to be. Balance your portfolio. Make sure it's geared to accomplish your goals, both in up markets and down markets, because you're going to experience both in retirement. And don't expose yourself to any more risk than you need to. And also make sure you're managing the expenses well, right? One of the easiest things we can do is lower account fees. It's the only guaranteed way to make sure you make more money every year. But anyway, we got to run. As always, go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can catch all of our episodes. You can also log on to our iTunes page and our podcast page right there on the site. You can also give us a call, 866-779-RISK, and hear our process. Everybody can benefit from it, even if you don't do it through us. You can benefit from it. Because we lower fees on average for most customers, most of our clients. There have been a few exceptions, but most of the time we lower fees substantially. I'm talking 30 to 50%. We increase upside performance and we lower risk. It's a no-brainer. And you can give us a call. We'll just tell you the process. I'll explain it to you over the phone. If you want a more in-depth meeting, we can do that. But give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to knowyourriskradio.com and stick with us because we've got a lot more other really good segments coming up that I'm excited to talk about. So thanks for being there and hang with us. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back. And for those of you that heard the last segment, we were talking about the two articles from Jim Cramer, the one from 2000 to 2017. It's tough to read those on air. And if you want to get them side by side, you can go to our Twitter page, which you go to twitter.com and you search Twitter for the @ and then type in KYR radio. So KYRRADIO. And scroll through the stuff that we post on there. We put a lot of economic information. A lot of our clients follow it. And about on July 14th, that's when I put that tweet up there with those two articles. And I just think everybody should go read it just to sit there and compare and contrast what's being said and realize that there's nothing new under the sun. We've been here before. And it's like this every time. At the top, it's going up. It's never going to stop. And remember, we're not trying to time markets. We're just saying, look, in a world right now where all the economic legislation that was supposed to be passed by Trump, which was the whole purpose of this rally starting in November, none of it's happened. And regardless of what you think of Trump, he's got legislative gridlock. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen in 2017. The economy's not picking up. The markets are, but the economy's not. Unemployment's basically, you know, it hasn't gotten worse, hasn't gotten better. It's kind of just bumped right along. Trump's touted a few numbers, but the numbers, the real economic numbers, guys, we look at, you know, manufacturing output, exports, imports, GDP, all that kind of stuff. Nothing's changed. If anything, we've slowed a little bit. Credit card delinquencies are climbing. Automobile sales are rolling over at a pace that's not typically seen outside of recessions or hasn't been seen outside of a recession in the last 40 years. And yet asset prices have just gone through the roof. And everybody's touting earnings. Let me tell you something about earnings, right? Earnings are profits that corporations make, okay? Look what the stock market's done in the last 5 years, right? It's gone absolutely parabolic. But did you know, if you don't think it's overvalued, you think I'm just a doomsdayer and a tinfoil hat guy and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. But do you realize that S&P earnings for 2017 for half of 2017 now in the last year, so going back from where we are now to the last year, that they are the exact same earnings that we threw up in 2012. And yet what's happened to the market? Has it doubled since 2012? Maybe more? So companies 5 years later making the same level of profits, and the market's doubled. I'm just telling you, just buckle up. You're 85, 90% stocks. What can go wrong? You're buying the same thing. Let me just tell you, you're not. I don't want to be rude, but if you're sitting there going, hey, I'm getting these great returns, and when you're doing what everybody else is doing, I'm just telling you, it's only a matter, you're not uncovering some great big secret that nobody else knows about. George Soros talks about this when he talks about the theory of reflexivity. Meaning that in financial markets, what we see is that something works. People buy it because it works. People buying that thing push the price higher, and then it works better. And then more people see that, and it's this self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Until it's not. And Soros talks about how identifying those inflection point shifts are the most powerful, most profitable things he's ever done in his career. Now, I'm not George Soros, and I'm not recommending you be George Soros, but the one thing that we know is that we're at obscene extremes, extremes that even Jack Bogle himself, the founder of Vanguard, you know, acknowledged. You just can't keep doing this, right? We're pressing historical maximums. But think about it, guys. The only two markets we can compare to today are 99 and 1929. Do not whistle past the graveyard. This time is not different. Some of you are going to call me, become a client. Some of you are going to take what you hear on this radio show, and you're going to get more disciplined and more defensive and wait for better buying opportunities. But some of you are going to whistle past the graveyard, and you're going to look in hindsight, and I just sound like another talking head on the radio right now. I get that. But you're going to look back and go, man, I should have listened to that guy. And like I said, it's not that we have unknown knowledge, and I'm not pretending to be smarter than everybody. I know that I'm more disciplined than most investors. That was born out in 2007. I know that I'm more stubborn, you know, that we don't chase performance, meaning we buy things because they fit our long-term goals and they present good value as it relates to cash flows going forward. The definition of investing. Right now, people are chasing hot names. And they're justifying it with earnings growth when they don't even really know how to pick apart an earnings release or a balance sheet or an income statement and really determine, is this earnings growth or is this withheld dividend payments from a stock purchasing program? What's going on with their debt to equity ratios? How are they funding the stock purchase program? And what I'm telling you is when you look at those things, what you see is not a market that's ready to collapse tomorrow. I'm not predicting that. But what you see is you see this trend exhaustion. You see the things that have propelled this market are getting to extremes where they just mathematically can't keep going. Now, when? I don't know. But what do? We sell things when they're expensive. We buy them when they're cheap, basically, right? But most importantly, we risk adjust a portfolio to fit your needs. So anyway, I'll get off my horse here, soapbox. I'm laughing with the producer right now just because I'm throwing out randoms today. But so stick with me here. But let's get into bubble spotting. So this goes right into what we've been talking about. And I can't remember when this conversation happened, but that, again, for those of you that listened to the show before, you know that my father and grandfather started a brokerage firm in 1983, and so I grew up in that environment. And I remember being intrigued by the whole mania aspect of markets, the Me Too investors, right, that are chasing the performance. And I remember my grandfather saying to me, this is probably when I was in junior high or something, that, you know, I still remember the word, Zachary, math is a tricky thing. Give it enough time and everything reverts to the mean. And he expounded further on that later, and he said that, you know, a lot of people have a hard time looking at this and or figuring out when this is going on. And he said, anytime you see something that is violating long-term historic trends and the logic for supporting it as an investment is it's different this time, he said 9 times out of 10, that's a bubble. And even when it's not, you're going to see, you know, massive volatility because too many people are operating on the same information and they're going to press prices way too high. And we all know, guys, remember, again, this is math. The one defining characteristic that matters above all else in investing is the price you pay. And if you are buying and holding right now, you are doing it when prices on most metrics, according to most analytics, have never been higher. Okay, so you're buying a house in the beginning of 2007. That is a fact. That is not my opinion. Now, am I saying that it's 2007? Again, no, not trying to predict it. But what I can tell you, through historical examples and all kinds of different economic rules, the gains we have seen in the past 8.5 years will not continue for the next 10. Most likely, those averages are going to get brought down to back to earth like they have every other time with a big drop in prices. And that will bring things more in line with the historical trends. Okay? So if you don't believe me, write it down on a piece of paper and let's talk a year from now, 2 years from now, and let's see. Because it's always happened. It's always happened. And everybody always thinks they're going to leave the party at the right time, that they're going to leave before the cops get there. They're going to leave before everybody gets, you know, too inebriated. That's what everybody always thinks. You won't. You won't. And avoid it. And like I said, the easiest way we can do that is by properly risking or properly weighting or properly constructing the portfolio. So bubble spotting, getting into this, and we've got to rush because I went over in the last segment. But bubble spotting, how did we know that we were looking at bubbles? You know, hindsight, everybody talks about it now. But I remember getting in yelling matches, literally arguments with people in 2004, 2005, 2006 about the whole real estate thing. God's not making any more of it. Real estate's never gone down across the country at one time. You're an idiot. You don't understand real estate. Da, da, da. And I just said to him, I go, this is the most ridiculous thing in the world. I said, did real estate go up last year and the year before 8% a year? Anything that can go up 8% a year can go down more. It's just fact. And yet you get into these manias, you get in these bubbles, and everybody's logic just goes out the window. And I'm having the same conversation now. People going, this market isn't going down. You don't know. Da, da. And I just sit there and I go, are you out of your mind? Were you alive in 2007? Were you alive in 1999? And I don't know why. It's actually easier to get people to buy into beaten down markets than to, and remember, not sell everything. Just tighten up. Just make sure that we're properly risk weighted, that you've got the right amount of exposure. It's harder to get them to do that. Greed is, they say fear is more powerful than greed, not in investing. I see greed prompt the worst moves by people. I've seen fear do some pretty bad ones too. So, okay. So it's pretty close. But you get in the moments like we are now, and the greed is just insane. These people are paying valuations for stocks that literally they're never going to get back. And it's just math. And so bubble spotting is whenever we look at something that's outside the norm, right? Whenever we see this quote unquote new paradigm, or this time it's different, real estate, when you see people making ridiculous amounts of money and you're sitting there going, you know, that doesn't seem like it makes sense to me, but everybody's making so much money, I got to do it. 1999, it was tech stocks. 2007, it was real estate. Today, it's anything that's a marketable security, which is a big impact of the central banks around the world, just forcing up what we call the financialization of the economy. But it's there. I mean, go look at it. Listen to it work. How many times people watching the tickers, checking their stocks every day? How much am I up? Right? That's not normal. We're there. Stock market averages 11% going back to the Great Depression. We're over 20 for 8 straight years now. Not normal. It's too easy. So again, our clients primarily own mutual funds, ETF stocks. But we have pulled back their allocations to that to the minimum needed going forward and focused on value and quality over not chasing performance. And we've positioned them in a way to make sure that we're right-sizing their portfolio, that we're going to keep moving up if things go up, but we're not exposed to any more risk than we have to accomplish our long-term goals. So anyway, got some great segments still coming. Stick with us. We got to run. As always, go to knowyourriskradio.com. You can catch the rest of this segment, all the other episodes and segments that we've done on there. You can give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Set up your free risk review. You'll talk to me directly. We'll tell you about our process, how we go about doing things. Other than that, we got to run, take this quick break. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH. Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great, you'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, let's talk some investments. I like those entrances. I think that's one of the toughest things about doing radio is the intro to segments. Like, I always listen to Medved and Rush and those guys, and it just cracks me up. I think sometimes their entrance into segments are the most funny, the most entertaining. And we're not there yet. I'm certainly not that level on a lot of areas, right? Not just that, but it's share that with you. It's a challenging part. So anyway, let's go along with our conversation here. And last segment, we were talking about bubble spotting. And I wanted to share a story with you because I mentioned it earlier. I met with a client of mine, Bob, who started off as a caller from the radio and then became a client with us and turned into a good friend of ours. And I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I am not a doomsdayer. I've been accused of being too positive. I'm a big believer in what Warren Buffett's always said, which is there is no bad asset. There's just a bad price. And right now people are just buying good companies. They're just paying ridiculous prices for them that they're going to regret. And it's nothing against company. I got nothing. I think they've done an incredible job. A lot of these come Microsoft and Twitter and, well, Twitter's, that's not a really good example, but NVIDIA and Facebook and Netflix, and hats off to the operation, Amazon especially, right? Incredible. But when I'm doing the math of an investment and I can't see how on a cash flow basis that I'm going to make money over the next 10 years, think about it. If I didn't see the green arrows going up every day, I wouldn't be buying it. Right? And when you're buying it because the green arrows are going up every day, guys, that's called chasing performance. And unless you're a trader and you know how to read trends and you know how to get around it, which there are not very many of them, trust me, that's not investing. That's gambling. It's like going up to the roulette table and betting on black because it's been black the last 6 times. It's not if, it's when. So anyway, I am not a pessimist. And as a matter of fact, I spoke to Bob yesterday about, we have a lot of different clients, but for our clients that are accredited investors, which many of you know, and I don't want to get into a huge explanation about that, but for accredited investors, there are things that we can do. Investing in private equity, maybe the occasional hedge fund, which we don't have any now, but I'm just saying those are things accredited investors can do, which means you got a net worth of over $1 million. And we're always on the lookout for interesting investments. And we've run into, and I don't want to talk a lot about it because I don't want to, I got to be careful about not making recommendations and doing, crazy stuff. But we were introduced to a little company located right here in the Seattle area in Woodinville that has completely revolutionized audio speaker technology. And I'm talking concert style speakers, Speakers the size of a quarter you can fit in a smoke detector or a cell phone or whatever. And it's a completely different technology that's lighter, draws less energy, produces much better sound. It's incredible. And when you look at an overvalued market like this and a smaller speculative company like this, that should be the last place we want to look, right? But why are we looking at that? And why are we directing some of our investors to that? And again, this isn't an endorsement. This isn't a why. I'm just, because it's a phenomenal company with literally, it's a disruptive technology that they've mastered. And the world is taking notice. But the investment community hasn't taken notice yet. And why? Because literally, they make hardware and everybody goes, oh, if you were an internet company or an app company, we'd buy in a second. We'd be all over that. But we're not interested in hardware. And, you know, one of my sayings you've heard me say on the radio before is, look, your money doesn't care how it's made. And when everybody is saying that, when everybody's going and funding these companies for $25 billion that produce $150 million in revenue, like a Snapchat, their revenue's bumped up, but around the time of IPO, that's what they were at. And everybody's chasing that, you know a couple things. A, most of it's going to go broke. B, you're going to pay too high a price for it. And C, you're going to be fighting a lot of competition, which again relates to price and stuff like that. Where do we want to go? We want to go to the places people aren't. And so we're not sitting there. There's speculative investments our clients are in, but they make sense. The valuations make sense. They've got tremendous upside just looking at the income statement. I don't have to put on my special Cramer glasses and come up with a new way of valuing companies and all that. No, these make sense. And so don't sit there and write off our opinion as you'll never find a bigger stock fan than I am. I love it. I love researching it. I admire, you know, the ingenuity in the American economy. And, you know, look what a lot of these companies have been able to do with such bad economic growth. It's remarkable. And I think there's this paradigm that if you're concerned about stock prices, you're concerned about economic trends, that you're anti-American or you're a bear or you're this. No, not at all. But before I care about any of those things, I've got to care about my home front. I've got to care about how I'm going to fund my retirement. I got to care about, as a fiduciary, how my clients' accounts are doing and if they're exposed to an appropriate amount of risk. But it doesn't mean anecdotally throw stocks out and I don't want to invest in this and I'm a bear and I'm going to sit around and wait for the world to end. No. Like I said, we're looking at private equity deals for some of our clients or special investments that are considered highly speculative but have unbelievable potential. And they're cheap because that's where everybody isn't. Not private equity in general, but these sectors we're looking at, like this company that makes speakers, right? You hear that and you go, that's not very sexy until you see it, until you understand that they're making a speaker that literally, first of all, it shouldn't even be called a speaker. It's a completely new type of technology that's based off of sound resonance as opposed to, you know, speakers moving in and out and pushing air. So the effect is that acoustically, it's a light year jump from where we're at. They're making them at the same or less price points than existing technology. And not to mention the fact that these speakers are hung. You've heard them before. You didn't know you've heard them before, but you have. If you go to restaurants in the Seattle area, you've heard them. And it's exciting. Brilliant guys working on it. And it's going to take it over. It's going to take over the speaker industry. It's one of those moments where I've seen the future. But my point of that is not to solicit a bunch of calls about what it is. It's a privately held company. I can't solicit or encourage it. My point, though, is to point out that there are opportunities out there, but it's not just stocks. You need to be looking in places that other people aren't. You need to be investing in things that are unpopular. Because the game is to make money. The game is to take the littlest amount of risk and make the most money possible. And everybody forgets the risk equation in that. Because your investments aren't just what you make. It's whether you stay solvent and whether you've got capital to deploy when things get cheap. Because we all can acknowledge that, right? These things happen in cycles. We'll have cheap, we'll have expensive. But the trick is transitioning from expensive to cheap and still having a lot of capital left, right? What we call unimpeded capital, capital that hasn't taken a 40 to 50% loss already. And sometimes that means you got to be a little bit boring. But I want to get the misconception out there that we're not doomsdayers, and you shouldn't be either, because that's looking through an ideological lens. And in investing, we don't want to do that. Ideology doesn't make money in investing. I've seen that proven over and over, and in some respects, I've learned that myself. But what it does mean is that when you shouldn't just keep paying record high prices for things just because they keep going up, because they won't, right? There'll be a moment where that paradigm shifts, and it usually happens a lot more suddenly and a lot more violently than anybody anticipated. And, you know, and for those of you out there that listen to this show or that like what we have to say because of the bearish tone, you know, or quote unquote bearish tone, I hate it when people call me a bear because I'm not, but you know, I'm not succumbing. We're not chasing performance, but I want to reinforce the idea that investing is a broad, you know, that's a broad arena. And it doesn't just mean you got to go buy the stocks that everybody's buying and the ones that Cramer talks about and the one that everybody owns. There are other things out there. There are other things that have much better risk return outlooks, meaning you're not paying astronomically and historically record prices for their equity. And there's some things out there that aren't tech and software related that are going to come back in style, but they're not right now. And if you know where to look, there's some phenomenal deals. There's some phenomenal investments, but you got to be creative. But most importantly, you've got to make sure that your risk is correct. You got to make sure that your portfolio is designed to fulfill your retirement needs, not make you the most money in the next 16 months. Because that might feel really good right now, but it's going to feel like a kick in the gut when, and repeat, when we get our next big recession and next big blow. And guys, just trust me, this is not a new normal. Fight that instinct. Not trying to time markets. Just like I said, battening down the hatches and make sure we've got everything tight. Low expenses, lower risk, still exposure, right? Focusing on lower valuations. Just lowering the exposure. So anyway, we got to get running. But as always, you can call us at 866-779-RISK and set up a free risk review. We can talk to you about some of these private equity opportunities that we offer our accredited investors and things of that nature, or whatever it is you want to do, or if you just want to do a risk review about how we lower risk and lower cost, we can certainly do that. You'll talk to me directly. You can also go to knowyourriskradio.com, listen to all the podcasts, all the different episodes and interviews we've done. But anyway, I got to get running. I'm heading out of town with the wife, getting away from the three kiddos who I love dearly. But I think it's my wife and I were doing the math. It'd be the first time we've gotten away for more than a night in the last 4 or 5 years. And going to plan to just go do nothing for 4 days. So anyway, I'm heading off. I'm excited about that. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for sharing part of it with us. And hang in there. And until next week, when we talk to you again, you're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
Are you worried that another market collapse, like the ones we experienced in 2000 and 2008, could constrain, alter, or permanently delay your ideal retirement? If so, give us a call and request our complimentary booklet entitled Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risks from Your Retirement. In it, we'll show you how you can 100% guarantee your retirement portfolio against loss while still participating in market gains. In fact, many of our clients have experienced gains of 30% or more over the past 4 years while being 100% guaranteed against loss. Stocks, bonds, and real estate are all at record highs. And if it keeps going, great. You'll keep going up with it. But if it doesn't, and we're on the cusp of another big crash, your retirement plans won't be affected. Call right now and get our complimentary booklet called Common Sense Investing, Removing the Risk from Your Retirement. And like our most well-known client, Dory Monson, says, go from retirement hoping to retirement planning. So call now for your free copy at 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK.